And he's alive.
Yes. You heard anything more about Peter?
He's just home.
Is he clear? Is he clear?
I think so.
We should go visit him. Three of us could visit him.
If he's gone.
Huh?
Carol is heading up a Christmas caroling. We're going to go around to some of the local care centers. centers and nursing homes and things and sing some Christmas carols. So if you'd like to help with that, that's going to be on December 20th. There is an announcement in your bulletin, so I hope that you can come out and be a part of that. We're going to meet here at the church, and then carpool around here to just the local area here and to some of our homebound folks as well. So come out and join us on the 20th for that. Our staff and love offering, we have this week and one day a week for that. You have an envelope in your bulletin for that to recognize our dedicated staff here at the church at this time of the year. So if you're interested in being a part of that, the little house is in the back. You can put it there or just drop it in the offering plate as well. If you miss that as well. We're going to have a work day. I don't know exactly what day it is. We're going to take down our old gazebo, the termites. Have eaten about all they want of it, so they've left the rest for us. So we're gonna tear that down. We are gonna have a new one built out there. We've had some generous offerings of labor to build another one. So as soon as we get that torn down, Ken Chanel is back there on the soundboard. Ken's sort of heading that effort up. So if you want to come out, I don't know, we haven't set a date yet to do that. We'll see how many folks can come out and help with that. But we're going to tear down and put in a dumpster the old gazebo out there and then prepare to build a new one on in its place. Okay. Miss Robin, would you like to come up? I didn't confirm this with you today, but Robin has been out gleaning again. Our gleaning season for Cross Ministries has started. She was out yesterday, and I see that I have a bag of corn in the back, so that's good. Yay! I love when they glean, but she's going to let you know a little more about that program and how we all can be involved. And this year, I definitely want to play a bigger part in that. And Robin is the gleaning queen.
Amen.
That is true. I do love to glean. Okay, so gleaning is a program here in Palm Beach County that we share with Cross Ministries. Cross goes out to some of the local farms and collects produce. We pack it in bins, and it goes into a big truck for the food bank, and they bring it back here in Palm Beach County. But one of the most important things you might not know, is that the way our farms work, pretty much 70% of their crop is considered waste by our government, and they don't care what they do with it. So the farmers, by giving back to the community, there's over 150,000 families in Palm Beach and Harlan County that cannot afford to feed their kids or themselves or their elderly. So the food program really, really, really helps with that. Let me just give you some numbers since I started with the program. I started actually in the 2012-13, and I don't have the figures from that. But in the my second year, my first year as a field supervisor, we gleaned 377,535 pounds. Wow. 2 years ago, 14-15, we challenged ourselves, and we had a really awesome year. Thank God for the crops and the rain. We gleaned 483,343 pounds of produce. Last year was an extremely bad year for our local farmers, and yet we recovered 411,140 pounds of produce during the 15-16 gleaning season, which is the second highest total in our program's history compared to the 14-15 season. This remarkable accomplishment came during the worst non-hurricane weather season growers can remember in South Florida. Yet despite a difficult year, our growers continue to support our efforts to produce fresh produce for hungry persons in Palm Beach and Mountain counties. It is also a testament of our gleaning supervisors who tirelessly came out to lead groups in the field. We are blessed to have committed and devoted groups of volunteers. So that's where y'all come in. We need more volunteers. We need people. I hear all the time, oh, I can't lift those buckets or I can't bend down that long. That's okay. We got something else for you to do. We need people to make sure that our volunteers are hydrated so they can pass out water. We need volunteers to direct people that come in late or early. There is something for everyone. As part of the Lakeside family, it's been such a blessing for me to be challenged to come out of my comfort zone and become a supervisor. But the people that I have met through the gleaning program are just amazing. From the people that get the product, to the people who help, to the people who provide. It has been such an uplifting experience for me, and I know that it could be for you too. There's something for everybody. If you're interested in cleaning or any part of Cross Ministries, from delivering food to the shut-ins to helping at the food kitchens, you can go to the Cross website and get involved over there. You can find Peace website, and he will send you out a newsletter every week about Tuesday or Wednesday, letting you know where we're going to be. We do truck pooling, we do carpooling, and we go anywhere from Martin County to, yesterday I was in Clewiston, and we go south to Boca Del Rey. So there's, sometimes we're running four or five sites. There's something for everybody. So I hope y'all can come out and get involved with the Blaine program. Thank you.
Thank you. And you feel a passion and excitement in her voice. Isn't that awesome to be doing something you actually like to do? And she looked at me rather in front of you there. I have no part in getting you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Robin. That's thank you, Robin. And Robin, I tell you, they just love her. And you made the announcement in church, but the Cross appreciates her service so much they nominated her the Woman Volunteer of the Year three or four weeks ago now, down in Boca, and we went down and had a great luncheon. And my vote was for her. I don't know why they didn't pick her, but the ex-mayor of Boca Raton won the Woman of the Year. I don't know why she did, but my vote was for Robin. Robin, you are a blessing to this church. So thank you. And Cross Ministries as well. It's such a great organization, and they're right here in our own backyard. So it's something we can do here locally, that we can have hands-on in a local ministry that is making a difference in the world. Absolutely. So thank you all for that.
Thank you. salvation and life, we come to this time of worship yearning for a vision and the promise of a better world. Open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to your dream of what you created us and the world to be. Strengthen us by what we see in the actions of our sisters and brothers with whom we worship. Inspire us with a vision of walking your holy way, a vision so compelling and clear that not even we can go astray if you walk with us on the journey to create a world of justice, radical love, and liberation. May we sing with Mary, witness with Jesus, and make your dream a reality. Amen.
I'd like to invite Destiny Harden and Catriona Chanel up for our Advent readings this morning, the lighting of our Advent candles.
Light this third candle of Advent. Joy.
Thank you, girls. These young ladies really growing up in our church. And one of the blessings for me as a pastor when I came here, you know, I've been here almost 6 years, even like this. Like that. What a blessing they are to our church. And thank you, ladies, for that this morning. Good for your mom and dad, huh? Okay, so what do we pray to? We're praying for that big bright star. What does that star represent? You remember the Christmas story? Let's see. You see what's above the manger over here? What's above the manger? A star. Does this one have a star? Imagine that. They both have stars above the manger. I wonder why. What does that star represent? What? Jesus' birth. So when we go out in the nighttime and we see the first bright star, and we say have a wish that we wish upon that star, what are we actually doing? We're asking Jesus maybe to be in that wish, right? Like a prayer for something or someone that we care about. So that's what the bright star in the sky is all about. We think we're just asking for something we want, right? But we're praying and using that star to represent Jesus to us. Does that make sense? And that's what we're doing for Christmas, right? What are we waiting for at Christmas? Jesus' birth. We're remembering Jesus' birth. Are we waiting for a new Nintendo game? No. Boy, that's a good answer. I didn't think I was going to get no from all of them. Wow. Nancy and I got a special gift this year. You know what it was? We got my car fixed. My car broke down this week. So I called her and said, Merry Christmas. You're getting a car. Merry Christmas. It was so special.
It is, yes. Amen.
So we don't always know what that gift is going to come in what form, do we? But the best gift of all is in what's behind you there. What's behind you? Jesus laying in the manger. The best gift of all, right? And we can't even give that to one another. Jesus, God has given us that on His own. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we look into the night sky and see that bright star, let it be for us the reminder that Jesus Christ is that star. And Father, let us be blessed when we pray to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You want to go to Sunday school then? Cool. Last Christmas, he got a puppy. That's pretty cool.
I can't top that.
No. I want one, too. I can't have one. No puppy. We got a couple of things. First, when we go before the Lord in prayer, we certainly have had our share of folks in need. And we lost a young woman this week. Remember the young lady we were praying for, Heather Rubino? She just turned 30 years old about a month or so ago.
Oh my God.
She had two small children. Yesterday we found out that she passed away from pancreatic cancer. So just keep that family in your prayer as well. Discernment on what's the best avenue to go after this cancer with her. Just keep the Snyder family in your prayers. Alex Malconian is asking for prayers for a chef where he works, whose father is under hospice care. John is his name. And Donna Foreman, if you remember Donna, she's in California. Pray for her family situation as well. It's her father's 99th birthday. Why not?
Amen. Thank you.
Jane is lifting up her nephew, Zach. He's going to be having surgery on Tuesday, Chan, so keep Zach in your prayers as well. Mary Ann is lifting up the residents of Crest Haven. A friend, Danny, for a successful surgery. Phyllis Grant for peace as well. We do have a praise this week. Last week, Michael Garrett, Michael and Evelyn were here, and Michael had given us a prayer request for test results for his heart, and everything did come back good. He was yesterday to go up now and complete the hiring process for a new job. I hope that that brings him closer to home and that he will be here as well. So keep Michael in your prayers now for a successful job transition as well. We've been covering everything this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Bring what you have on your hearts that have gone unsaid this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you are an awesome God. Father, we pray for miracles. And sometimes these miracles come in ways we don't expect. Father, for this young woman, Heather, this young mother and wife and daughter who passed away yesterday. Father, we pray for a miracle for her, for healing. So today we have to recognize that your healing was completed in her passing. Was completed in her journey back to you. Father, we pray for that family, those two young children, who now will grow up with only stories of their mother. But Father, today I pray for memories to be made, for lifetimes to be lived in maybe only days or months. But Father, I pray that our faith would never waver. But Father, thank you for the spirit of hope. We pray for that spirit of hope in all of our requests this morning. The long list of people suffering with illness, disease, injury, the aging process. Father, that is life's natural cycle. We grieve throughout this cycle and we lose those closest to us or watch the ones we love suffer. Father, our strength comes from you. Without that strength, we are hopeless. Without that faith, we are hopeless. Without our belief in you as a saving God, it's hopeless. Father, today I pray that each name mentioned here today would receive a special dose of grace, a special blessing, an anointing of healing. Father, the same wish for those that are in our hearts, that are locked deep inside of us, whose names have gone unspoken today. Father, I pray that same blessing in each one of those situations. In whatever hardship we find ourselves in today, Lord, whether it be financial, whether it be in relationships, whether it be in the doubt that we sometimes feel. Father, we pray today that you would bless us richly. Father, our world is a troubled world. And it is a world that seeks a way forward. And that only way forward is through you. I pray that our country, our nation, the world could see that as its only hope. So Father, bless us as a nation. Bless our leaders. Bless the transition of government. Bless those that seek ways to serve. So, Father, be with us today in our worship as we honor you and give you the glory and to trust. Let us pray together. Our Father, our Lord.
Thank you.
Gracious God, receive and bless our offering. Father, we give it in love, trusting you will use it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. May be seated.
Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?
Jesus responded, "Go report to John what you hear and see. Those who were blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who are deaf now hear. Those who are dead are raised up. The poor have good news proclaimed to them. Happy are those who don't stumble and fall because of me." When John's disciples had gone, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A stalk blowing in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed up in refined clothes? Look, those who wear refined clothes are in royal palaces. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. He is the one of whom it is written, 'Look, I'm sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you.' I assure you that no one who has ever been born is greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let's pray. Gracious God, let us take this scripture to heart this morning. Father, we too can be as great as John, but that greatness comes only through humility. So, Father, we pray this morning that you would humble us to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So John finds himself in prison. And do you think this service that John has been called into, he thought he would find himself in this place? Do you think this is how John expected to end up? You wouldn't necessarily sign on for a gig like that, would you? He is the great prophet of God, the forerunner of the Messiah. He's not just hopeful about the coming of the kingdom. He's expecting to see it in front of his own eyes. Did John see this kingdom come while he was still here? God made him wait, didn't he? Let's try to think about how John might have been looking at this situation. When he was first arrested, the government was trying to shut down this new movement, right? This new Jesus thing. So John's arrested, and he confidently sits in his cell waiting for this miraculous event. He still believes. He still trusts. You think he ever asked, "What is Jesus really doing here? You know," he said, "we're back. Are you really the one? Or are you, or should we be looking for someone else?" You remember John had an experience with Jesus when he was still in the womb, didn't he? So who could have more trust and faith that Jesus was the one than John? And yet John doubted him for a moment. You think John was sitting in prison? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Doesn't he know what's happened to me? What's the holdup? Jesus is certainly not acting like the Messiah. Has Jesus never quite acted like the Messiah for you? He has for me. There's been times in my life, luckily it's getting less and less, that I'm very disappointed in God. Anyone else ever been disappointed in God? "God, I'm in this prison. Get me out. I don't deserve to be here." And yet there we sit. One way to summarize John's thoughts: this is not what I signed up for. Have any of you ever said that in your life? Show me some affirmative out there. If you haven't, yes. If you haven't, you have been blessed. John's expectations were dashed. His hopes were on life support. He was asking, are we going backwards? Our confidence can give way to doubt, can it? It certainly can. John 9, should we expect someone else? I wish I could stand here before you today and tell you that doubt is only something that non-believers feel. Do you sit here today as believers and still have doubt? What in the world is going on? But it doesn't work like that, does it? I think John's example, sitting there in these circumstances, we would think, boy, God should be taking care of this John. He came, he did what he was told, and here he sits. But you know, even us, as long-term, mature believers, we face challenges that can shake us to the very core, can't they? Has anyone been shaken to their core recently? Well, I hope you can still remember it. Because if you haven't had your faith ruffled up, lived a touched life, a touched by God life. Sometimes our confidence is just crumbling into a pile of doubt. You know, John's suffering wasn't because of sin, was it? Why was John suffering so? Because he was proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We suffer a lot of times because of our own bad choices, don't we? Our own sin. Years ago, I used to lay awake at night, every crazy thought running through my head. And I would say, why does my brain hate me? Why is it telling me these things? I know they're not true, but there's something in there. My mind is telling me this junk. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and say, maybe from a bad dream or just from the things going through your mind before you go to sleep, is this really true? Anyone experience that?
Amen.
How can this be true? This stinks. But even believers have times of doubt. I'm sure John sitting there in jail thought, oh, my goodness. Hey boys, run over there and ask Jesus if this is really the one. And what did Jesus say? Sit there and mind your manners. I got work to do out here. You think Jesus and God said, John, you've done what you've needed to do now. The people know who Jesus is. People, Jesus is out ministering to the people. John, maybe I don't need you quite so much anymore, but we're going to write some books about you, and you'll be famous afterwards. Does that happen to us? God uses us for a season and then says, okay, take a break. Or okay, I'm going to bring you to heaven. You're going to be healed. You're going to be rewarded. You're going to heaven. Where we're all hoping to end up someday, right?
Amen.
But God has things for us to do. And I can't tell you, heaven's family is sitting there. The parents are friends with her parents saying, why in the world is this daughter gone of mine at 30 years old? They're two babies. And a good wife. They were both nurses. Her husband and her were nurses. They were living the American dream. We've had friends who lost a 24-year-old son on an ATV accident. That makes no sense. He's in the prime of his life. And God said, well, you think God has that conversation with Jesus saying, well, I think it's time to bring him home. And the timing was so terrible. I can't stand here before you and tell you I have answers for that, because I don't. In my own life, I used to have those questions, but I've come to trust. There's people I love dearly, and if they're taken from me, it breaks my heart. I grieve. I experience sorrow. But I have to believe God is in the midst of it. I'm trying to become a Christian that doesn't question God's intentions. Can't say I'm there yet. I don't know if any of you are. Sometimes I say, God, what are you thinking? Are you awake? Did you take a nap? Is God ever asleep? God must have an idea of what's going on, I think.
Amen.
So I'm going to leave that in his hands. Things are bigger than me. I say, God, I'm going to give this one to you. I've had to do that a couple times in my life. After I found out I couldn't fix it, after sometimes many years of trying. Okay, God, you give it a shot. I'm going to give you four reasons that I feel this scripture today are most common sources of doubt for us. And then some biblical examples. The first thing that brings about doubt in us, tell me if you've experienced this, God's plan is rarely my plan. What's up with that? I got a good plan. Look, God, I think we can make this work. He says, nah, I don't think so. Sit down, shut up, don't make me put you in prison. Thank goodness God hasn't put me in prison yet to learn, to teach me a lesson. For that I'm grateful this morning. Matthew 16:21-23. It's the argument between Peter and Jesus over the prediction of the sufferings to come. Jesus is telling them it's betrayal, death, resurrection. Peter will have none of it. Peter's plan was better than God's. Things would have worked out differently if God would have just listened to Peter. Peter was a knucklehead, wasn't he?
Amen.
So there's hope for us, folks. Of course, Jesus' plan is what needed to happen for the salvation of all of us, right? Couldn't happen any other way. We have the right way things could be done, and God has the right way things should be done. I don't always agree with God. The second thing that I think brings about doubt in our lives, we presume that we're certain about some things, and in our mind it tells us we understand everything. You think God just lets you understand just enough to keep you interested. But he's not going to tell you everything. I don't remember now what Jack Nicholson movie was, but every time I say that, this comes to my mind. You couldn't handle the truth.
A few good men.
A few good men. Thank you. I don't think we can handle the truth, folks. We'd worry ourselves to death, wouldn't we? I think we would worry ourselves to death. So we presume that we know some things. That means we understand everything. That's the second thing. C.S. Lewis speaks of a time of grief in his life. He wrote, "Meanwhile, where is God? This is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, so happy, that you have no sense of needing God, so happy that you have attempted to feel God's claims upon you as an interruption. If you remember yourself and turn to God with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms, then go to God when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face, and the sound of a bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. There are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Was it ever inhabited? It seemed so at once. And that proceeding was so strong as this. What can this mean? Why is God so present a commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent a help in time of trouble? A door slammed in your face and the sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. Have you ever gotten a cold shoulder from God? Sometimes it seems that way. It leads to frustration, uncertainty. What do I do now? The purpose of this is for increasing our trust in God. You think God is that way? He puts us through these trials so we'll trust Him more. What's God's end goal for each one of us? Okay. To bring us into perfection like Christ. Some of us may live hundreds of years working on that perfection. But God is strengthening us through our trials. He's strengthening us through our life experiences. He's giving us a reason to try. And that reason is we're on our way to perfection and we're on our way to eternity with Christ. You know what the definition of hell is? A separation from God. You know anybody living in hell on earth right now that's separated from God? There's hell all around us, folks. People are living separated from God. Hell is already among us. We don't have to wonder what hell is like, do we?
Amen.
We've got examples of it everywhere in our world today. And for all time, it's been there. We're separated from God. We're in hell. Number three. We often add our expectations to His call. Now, when God calls you into something and you say, God, I'm going to add this little extra part here. Why do we add our expectations onto what God has called us to do? Matthew 11, 4 and 5 tells us, John the Baptist, like most, thought Jesus was the Messiah. But John also thought he was going to ride in on a white horse, he was going to knock out the Roman Empire, and they were going to be in charge. Sorry about your luck, John. Didn't work out that way, did it? You get to sit in prison for a while. He thought the Jews would be in charge of Palestine. The new king had showed up. Instead, there he sits. The fourth reason why I believe we doubt we forget that greater trust in God enables God to do greater work through us.
Amen.
If we have greater trust in God, God does more through us. Is that an amen statement? That's an amen statement. God doesn't put programs together. God doesn't put things to do, another item for the church to do. God works through people. I hope you felt God working through you somewhere this week. If you have, you've been blessed. God is working through you. He's seeking hearts that are wholly devoted to Him. You know what? Our challenge is to not become offended and walk away. Have you known folks that have done that with God?
Amen.
God, you're asking too much of me. I'm done. I'm turning my back on you. this is what it means to be a Christ follower, you can have it. Or I haven't seen any evidence of you, God, so you know what? You're on your own. God, you haven't shown up in my children. You haven't shown up in my spouse. You haven't shown up in the loved one that I care about. And he's in all of those things and we don't see it. Where I come from, we say you can't see the forest for the trees. You ever been like that? Yes. I can't see God because God's all around me. I can't see the forest for the trees. So it's a challenge for us not to turn our back on God. Even though we witness the miracles, John is a fine example of this. John 6 is pointing out, even though those among you got to hear Jesus speak and witness to his miracles, there were still many who walked away. Can you imagine being in Jesus' time and following around and watching all these things happen and say, that makes no sense to me. I think we're still doing that today. There's a lot of reasons why we don't follow Christ as closely and trust Christ, trust God as much as we should. And the tragedy in that is that we live a life without Christ. We do all of this because we have trust in Christ. Trees with lights, manger scenes. We're trusting that it means something and is true, right?
Amen.
We hope it's true. There's proof all around us, folks. During this season of Advent, we're waiting. Look for things around you that prove it's true. Amen?
Amen.
That's great. Gracious God, thank you for this message of hope through John. John gives us an example of not getting what we thought we were going to get. I pray that you would use us in a way that would honor you. Father, let us be your people. Let us be a people of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Upon the midnight clear. After we receive the benediction, anyone that would like to come forward and lay hands on Karen as she has her surgery this week, come forward and have the benediction. We'll have a prayer for her up here. So, receive this benediction. Father God, as we leave this place, let us feel your Holy Spirit power. Father, we trust you. We know that you love us. We know that you care about us. And Father, when we doubt, give us a sign of your hope and your joy that fills us. We love you, Lord. Let us go from this place as a people of God. We love you, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
It's in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.